my name is Ron Horshefsky, Executive Director of Orthopedic Surgery Incorporated. I'm joined today by Alex O'Keefe, Head Strength Coach of Athletic Evolution, a graduate of Springfield College, certified strength and conditioning specialist, worked formerly as a Division I strength coach at Auburn in South Carolina. And I'm also joined by Katrina Habel. She's the Director of Operations at Athletic Evolution, a four-time All-American and captain of the Syracuse lacrosse team. And she's also the president of the Team Evolution, which is an elite AAU lacrosse club in New England. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
I know the use of functional movement screens is an important aspect of the assessment of all athletes at Athletic Evolution. Can you describe for our listeners what a functional movement screen is?
Well, basically the FMS is our way of assessing every client that walks into our doors. So for whether it's a young athlete or an older adult looking for some training, we put them through the functional movement screen. We assess any weaknesses, imbalances, or asymmetries that they might have in their body. They're put through a series of seven tests, and that gives us a final score and lets us look at any type of injuries they might be prone to, or really helps us specifically design the program and tailor it to every individual's needs.
And I guess I would add that basically what it does, it's pre-warm-up, it's pre-stretch. You come with us, it's about a 15-minute test, and it basically shows how your body works at that given point in time. So whether you're an 11, 12, 13-year-old, you're a very competitive 2-3 sport athlete at the high school level, or even where it's kind of renowned and used heavily at this point in time is in the professional level, having served all of the NFL teams nationally, it really assesses the body. So as Alex said, we feel very strongly about using this test before training or treating any of our athletes.
Can you give me an example of an athlete that came in who really felt that they were pretty strong, but yet when they went through the functional movement screen, you identified a significant weakness that they had to work on and how it may have made them a better athlete?
Absolutely. We've encountered that quite a bit, actually, when people come in and they really feel like they're strong, they're healthy, they're ready to be trained in the specific ways that they feel that they need to be trained. We put them through the screening. Certain things pop up, whether it's a flexibility issue or they may have some pain in a certain joint, and they're just not quite ready to be trained for what they came in for. We take them through a very customized treatment plan with the corrective exercises that are paired up alongside the screening. Put them through the corrective exercises, and that really helps their body just move better, feel better, and it allows them to be trained more effectively after being put through that. And the screen is really the beginning part of that process. If we didn't implement that screen, these things would never pop up. They'd train over their injuries and be even more prone to the injuries if they weren't corrected.
Okay, I imagine the average person, I'm thinking about myself, I train to my strengths. If I'm comfortable doing something, I'll do it more, so I'll get stronger doing that. But in my weaknesses, I might not train towards, so I might be building weaknesses that I'm not even aware of.
I would absolutely agree with that. And I think that in seeing it over the past couple of years in doing the exam, what you see in witnessing the test, yes, it's seven different parts evaluating the entire body. If they do get a perfect score, all the tests should be done pain-free.
All the tests are really designed to put your body in the most extreme movement situations possible to sort of mimic a position in their sport that they're prone to get injured in. So if you can't move your body in a full range of motion in those positions, then the more likely you are to get hurt in those positions while you're playing your sport. The screen helps us point those out. So if you can't squat, it's pretty likely that you're going to be getting an injury in your hips, your lower back, maybe in your shoulders or your spine somewhere. We do a lot of assessments that kind of mimic the running motion, which is vital to all sports. Hamstring length, which is, you know, a big area of injury and a spot that we look at very closely. Core strength, vital for all sports, whether you're, you know, rotating or trying to prevent rotation in any sport. These are all areas that we're looking at with all these tests. And like Trina said, scoring them on a scale, and each individual score is assessed as well as the total score of all the tests. And we kind of have, you know, benchmarks of where we look at where you need to be able to train effectively on each individual test as well as the final score. And if your final score number is too low, we're going to take you through a lot more specialized program before you can start training for your specific sport.
Okay, so it's a 4-point scale, but it starts at 0.
Yes.
And it goes to 3. So the top score that you can get is a 21?
Yes, 21's the highest.
And if I'm, say I'm a high school athlete versus a professional athlete, would I be scoring higher as a professional athlete, or is there just a general score?
Well, ideally you'd be scoring higher. A lot of it, it's... The beauty of the test is so individualized, whereas, you know, some people may never be able to get in the 3 in some of the things, no matter how many correctives or how much they work on perfecting it that they do. Their body just may not be able to do that due to so much training over it that they've done in the past. It has to go through a lot of correctives to be able to get that score up. Ideally, the higher level athlete you are, the higher you're going to score, and the much less likely you are to get injured, which at the professional ranks is the most important thing, because that means you're staying on the field and that's your paycheck. As far as a high school level, you may end up with athletes that score just as high as some professional athletes on the test. It's not an assessment of athleticism per se, but it's really letting us pinpoint areas you're prone to injury in and helping us avoid that and keeping all of our athletes on the field, which is something we really pride ourselves on. The great thing is we test at the beginning of our programs, we test at the end of our programs. They get to compare both scores and every individual score, see where they improved and see where they may still have some work to do.
Interesting. So what's the average improvement? Like if you were to say I started this season as was 17 perhaps, is that really low? Or
17 is actually pretty high and fairly common. I like to see a lot of 17s actually, okay. And they'll usually get 1 or 2 points higher. It takes a great degree of, you know, perfection in all the tests to score the 21, and a lot of practice for your body to perform that test at that level every time.
Mm-hmm.
So 21 is a pretty difficult score. Healthy high school athletes are usually that 16 to 19 range.
Okay.
You know, above that, we can train them in pretty much any level that we would need to train them. Below that is where we really spend some time and focus on correcting any of the individual scores that we can before going into the full training program, just to make sure at the end of their training program, which is usually when they're beginning their sports season, they're as healthy as they can be and their bodies can move in the most drastic situations you can put it in.
Sure.
Without injury or risk of injury, really.
So if you have pain, is it automatically a 0?
Pain is an automatic 0, and we're not a facility that can really treat that. That's kind of where we'd go to a facility like yours and get it looked at, get it treated, and then they would come back in
and retest
and then hopefully begin their training program from there.
A 0 across the board is what we like to call refer out.
Yes,
that's where we hand it off to the people that are certified in that area.
Okay.
And then I'd like to say that in incorporating these corrective movements, when the kids do score low, yes, the kids that score the lowest will do a little bit extra in the correctives in the areas they scored low in. But what we've done at Athletic Evolution is we've actually incorporated, there's about 3 or 4 corrective exercises for each of the 7 tests. We've incorporated in their, whether it's a 2, 3, or 4 day program, the corrective test in the beginning, middle, and end, so that it is just part of what they do. So it's become second nature to them. Whether they realize it or not, they are improving their flexibility and asymmetries and all the things that we strongly believe in that they need to prevent themselves from injuries, and either now or in the future.
One of the things that I notice is that the tests don't just test one thing. Alex, earlier you mentioned the word squat, so I'm picturing somebody squatting for the test, but they're also, while they're squatting, they're moving their arms into a position so that you can assess their ability to, so you're getting a sense of their shoulder range of motion while they're doing a squat where the knee doesn't go in front of the toes. It seems like there's a lot of things to be looking at, and it's not generally something that somebody could just pick up off the street, so you have to have a pretty high degree of professionalism to be able to even just conduct the test.
Absolutely. And it takes some time to be able to really pinpoint all the things that you're going to be looking for in each individual test, because every single test you're going to be looking at almost every joint in the body and assessing how they move at that joint, and you only get 3 trials to look at it. So we really hold all of our trainers in high regard in being able to be proficient at scoring this test, because, you know, that ultimately it's going to reflect on us whether they can or can't score it well, and then our athletes need credible scores to be able to go back and be put through the training programs.
Can you describe some of the tests just so the average person who might be walking into a FMS tests would have a sense of what would be asked of them.
Absolutely. So, for instance, maybe like we've been saying, that the one of the tests is a deep squat, and basically it's being able to squat with all of your joints in alignment, with your toes straight ahead, being able to squat below parallel depth with your arms extended above your head. So it's really looking at every joint in the body, ankle, knee, hip, spine, shoulders, elbows. You're looking at every joint in the body throughout that whole test and making sure everything can move at a pretty extreme body position and being able to move well in that position without pain or misalignment of any of the joints. Same thing with like a lunge pattern, where we're looking at, again, the ankle, the knee, the hip, the spine, but you're also putting your body in a position that's going to mimic your running form. So if you can't keep all the joints in alignment while you're running, the much more likely you are to get injured while you're running. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't think of a sport where you're not running. Most of the athletes that we encounter are participating in those types of sports, so that's another vital test for us to look at. So things like that. We're really looking at every test, looking at all the joints in the body, not breaking it down where you're only moving one joint at a time, because there's never a point in sport where that's the case. You're never really isolating that much while you're out playing. And like I said, we really spend a lot of time making sure we're keeping our athletes on the field. So we want to put them in situations where they can mimic the motions that they're going to be put into in a playing situation.
Trina, earlier you had made the point that the athlete is tested cold without a warm-up. Why is that?
Because you really want to see how the body reacts at that given time. So we don't want to help in any type of flexibility or mobility. We want to know exactly how the body is set up right there at that given time. Any warm-up, any flexibility, any stretching prior to could really hinder or hide some of the asymmetries or inflexibilities that they may have because they have been warmed up and loosened up and they may not show.
Again, I just keep thinking about how difficult it must be to assess the athlete during these tests. There's so many different things to look for. It really takes an experienced person to do it. And, just hearing you all talk about it, I know that the trainers at Athletic Evolution have that expertise to make that assessment with athletes. And as a parent of three kids, I think that I would appreciate knowing in advance what some of those weaknesses might be, especially with the incidence of some specific injuries that sometimes require surgery that possibly could be avoided. The first one that comes to mind would be like an ACL injury. Is there a test, one of these functional movement screens that might identify perhaps a hamstring weakness that might be helpful in avoiding an ACL injury in an athlete?
Absolutely. In fact, probably four of the seven tests are going to assess, like you said, hamstring weakness, hip imbalances, knee and ankle problems. And I'm sure you're well aware of any weaknesses, imbalances, or injuries in one joint is going to affect the next joint in line. Whereas if there's problems with the ankle, it's probably going to translate up to the knee. If there's problems in the hip, weaknesses, imbalances, anything, it's probably going to either translate up to the spine or down to the knee. So probably I would say four or maybe five of the seven tests are going to specifically look at that and be able to identify maybe a proneness to an ACL injury, which is unfortunately one of the biggest growing or fastest growing injuries across all sport right now. And hopefully we're identifying it early. We can put a plan of attack with their training program together based on this test. And again, hopefully avoid more of these injuries happening.
Great. Well, is there anything else that we should know about a functional movement screen that we haven't addressed in our talk?
I guess one of the biggest things, I know we related it quite a bit to athletes, but it really is a screen that's very great basis for any level of any fitness level. So whether you're a previous athlete or maybe you're retired.
That's a great point. Trina, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
This test kind of evaluates and lets us know as trainers how to approach each individual client that comes through our door. And at the end of the day, ultimately tells us how we are going to train each individual. If after hearing this, it does strike up some interest, there's always the opportunity to have us you know, take 15, 20 minutes of your day and evaluate you or your son or daughter in any way when it comes to asymmetries, functional movement of your body or theirs.
That's great. Well, I know after hearing you speak about this, I'm going to be going to Athletic Evolution to have a functional movement screen. I'm a little bit afraid of what it's going to show.
More than happy to do it.
But, you know, do it, then continue, maybe even adjust the training and exercise that I do now, and then come back and be tested again, and or even work with your trainers to help improve my score, because I'm guaranteeing you that I'm not going to get a 21. I want to thank you, Alex O'Keefe, head strength coach of Athletic Evolution, and Katrina Habel, the director of operations at Athletic Evolution. I think this has been a very informative podcast, and hopefully get more people getting the screening, because it sounds invaluable.
I appreciate the time, and thanks for having us, and we look forward to working together.
Yes, thank you for having us.
The podcast isn't over yet. Immediately after making this recording in the studio, I accepted Trina and Alex's invitation to undergo a functional movement screen myself.
First one I'm going to have you do is you're going to rest this right on top of your head, so your elbows are at 90 degrees.
Yep.
Feet right underneath your hips.
Yep.
All right. Press up straight. You're going to squat as low as you can, keeping the stick straight above you.
That's a three.
That would be a three.
You made that look so darn easy.
Alex was able to demonstrate each component of the test perfectly. It made it a great deal easier for me to understand the goal when I saw it demonstrated by a professional.
I mean, that's it right there. So you got a 15 out of 21. Not so bad. Not so bad.
It really sounded like I needed some convincing that I had done okay on the test. Alex was right there to offer the corrective exercises to improve my future tests. In the end, I was very impressed with this test and believe that is indeed an invaluable tool. Be sure to visit Athletic Evolution on Olympia Ave in Woburn. Hopefully you won't need the physicians at OSI, but if you do, we're just down the street on Montvale Ave in Stoneham.